Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Is Rush Limbaugh Day about to be a celebration in the state of Missouri? Well, if a handful of Missouri politicians have their way, January 12th every year is going to be a day of observance for one of the most influential conservatives in American history. I'm on board, and there's plenty of room for you to join in. The Wall Street Journal publishes a piece that, with herd immunity and vaccinations, America should have no restrictions for COVID-19 at all, anywhere, by April. I'm on board with this, too. You got to hear these numbers that nobody else is talking about. Patrick Mahomes and his fiancée are parents of a proud baby girl named Sterling Sky, and the city's all abuzz. We'll address that. Meanwhile, college basketball had its best weekend of the season at just the right time. The Jayhawks make a move with a win over Texas Tech, and there's a chance Baylor won't qualify to win the Big 12. It's getting exciting. Mizzou rolls South Carolina after a players-only meeting. This could be the turnaround point for Mizzou as they're playing better. Even Kansas State got a win. It all got me fired up for the postseason where we're going to have fans. I'm really looking forward to it. And a college baseball player went to the plate this weekend for his very first college at-bat. The bases were loaded. You won't believe what happened over the next 14 minutes. It's truly amazing. And it's brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Customers at Roberts Robinson say, we just make it easy. Ask for Mike or one of the nice, courteous staff on the showroom floor if you want to go kick the tires of a new Chevy, Buick, or GMC. Buick's got a great lineup of SUVs, and Mike's got a bunch of them at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC. Go check them out or view them online at robertsrobinson.com. They have great incentives right now in the new year to get you in a new ride. And don't forget the pre-owned inventory they have as well. And they'll buy your car. They'll pay top dollar for your car. Whether you're buying one there or not, they'd love to add yours to their inventory. So give them the opportunity to give you top dollar for your ride at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs, or online at robertsrobinson.com. Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building automation systems that can save you thousands of dollars on your utilities. These are perfect for office buildings, schools, churches, warehouses, you name it. Make your building great again with Elite Automation. They specialize in retrofitting HVAC control systems, not buying a new HVAC system. It's the control panels. They're going to retrofit these for you, upgrade them with technology, and save you thousands every month. What the heck is your building costing you? You know what it costs you every month to air condition and heat that place. You're going to make your money back in a couple of years' time, and then you just save it forever and ever with Elite Automation. Mention KKHI, and Elite's going to provide 12 months cloud hosting for free online at EliteAutomate.com or call them at 913-766-2188. That's 766-2188 for EliteAutomate.com. And Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. The first appointment's always free. Whether you're an adult and you're looking for Invisalign products to straighten your smile and improve your smile, and, you know, people wouldn't be able to see them, they're not quite as intrusive, or a teenager who's looking for braces and the gentle white glove care that my daughter got, Fry Orthodontics is the place for you. All over the metro area, Fry Orthodontics will help you get your smile, which is just the start. It's a confident smile for life. It makes a big difference, especially for kids. This company does a lot of great charity work. In fact, they have a free braces program. If you know somebody that you know can't afford braces, but you think they're deserving and they're just in a tough situation, call Fry Orthodontics and let them know about this person, and they'll put them on the list for free braces. They do a lot of that at Fry Ortho as well. Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. Rush Limbaugh Day, headed to the state of Missouri, and herd immunity and COVID ending by April. Does this not all just sound great? Let's do it on KKHI. Hit it!
Back 9 Development is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at back9development.com.
Well, it's the last Monday of February, and it seems to me that should be some sort of a day of recognition. You know, not quite a holiday. Some sort of day of recognition, or at least some sort of milepost. It's going to be 60 degrees. We have 68 degrees headed our way on Tuesday, and this feels great. I think spring is springing. Not that we won't have some cold days left and some times where we can't get out and do exactly what we want to do, but I'm excited. I'm going to put on some old shoes, I think, later today because I suspect it will be a little bit muddy, but I got to get my dog to the dog park. He's going to get some dog park action today and a bath right afterwards. You may know that the very end of every edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues features the little bit of a howl that my dog Cabo makes. He makes that when he's hungry or you have a treat or it's time for him to eat. If you grab his food bowl, he starts going like that. He's got a little bit of beagle in him. He is not a howler. He doesn't howl any other time. He doesn't howl as people walk by. He doesn't howl in the house. We kind of had to teach him to do it because we knew it was in him. We heard it once or twice, but he never really did it. And we thought that beagle howl was kind of cute. So we kind of taught him to speak when it's time to eat, and it becomes kind of a tradition. That's how we got him to do it for the recording at the end of the podcast. But that boy's been sitting on his butt for about 2 weeks. Me and Jess have been going to the gym. We've been doing pretty good here during the cold weather. I feel pretty good. I'd like to go ahead and brag this thing up and say the reason I'm going to the gym is I want to be in great shape and I want to be fit and I want to do all these things. And, there's a couple of things that are really not particularly great motivations that got me to the gym. One was I just couldn't sit around any longer. It was too cold. I had to do something. I just felt bad just not getting out and doing anything. But the other thing is I'm on this elliptical, which also works your upper body a little bit and your legs. I have a bad big toe and the treadmills don't work and running's not my thing. We go for long, long walks. I love doing that, but that isn't really great exercise. But for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been going at it pretty good in the gym, and it's completely selfish. It's about golf. Like, you know what? Maybe I've started to lose some distance. My short game isn't as good, and I don't know exactly why that is, but I think being a little stronger, a little more fit would help. Whatever it takes to get you in the gym, you do it. For me, that's it. That's the one. Maybe I'm blessed. Maybe I need to go to the doctor sometime, and he says, hey, you got this problem and this problem and this problem. You got to change all your ways. Maybe that would do something. Well, certainly that would do something. But this is certainly selfish on my part. It's simply about golf. That's it. Just want to play better this year. Good podcast today. We got a lot of little topics, nothing major here. Well, some of these are major issues, but I'm not going to make a major deal out of things when I have so many things from a weekend of stories that took place. And the first of which we'll start with, I was watching last night, Sunday night on Fox News, they've been doing tributes to Rush Limbaugh, and they had the one on in his own words, and it showed the early part of his career and his childhood and how he listened to the radio and wanted to be on the radio. And he said so many things that I identify with about what drove him and why he wanted to do what he did. And it's just been a very strange week for me as I've learned even more about Rush and what's driven him and caused him to go do what it was that he wanted to do and the amazing difference that he's made in this country over the course of 30 years just simply cannot be denied. On the Patreon post over the weekend, if you're a patron of the podcast, if you're a patron, you got a podcast over the weekend and a newsletter. And so on the newsletter, if you want to sign up, you can go to kkhasissues.com. It's $5 a month recurring, and we do multiple podcasts and multiple newsletters each month there. And we're going to be having a watch party for patrons only. I'm working on finding a location in Missouri on the first Saturday of the NCAA tournament. Something like noon to 3, go watch some college basketball. It'll be too hard to plan in advance to know whether KU or MU will be playing at that time. We're just going to take a shot at it. Do like noon to 3 on a Saturday afternoon or something, or maybe a little bit later, maybe 3 to 5 or 3 to 6, if that's more convenient for people. We'll toss around. But the first Saturday of the NCAA tournament is what we're targeting for patrons only. We'll invite everyone to a location and watch some college basketball together and share some of our thoughts and ideas. It's a lot of fun. If you want to join and become a patron, go to kkhasissues.com. Part of the patron post, which is the newsletter I do each week, it featured a little discussion about Ron DeSantis, the governor in Florida, putting the flags in Florida at half staff because he was referring to Rush Limbaugh's death, and we wanted to honor that. And, of course, liberals exploded with anger and outrage that they were doing this in Florida, and it upset them very much. Now we have in Missouri, which I like this a lot, in Missouri, Hardy Billington from Poplar Bluff is a representative in the Missouri State House, and he would like to have Rush Limbaugh Day in the state of Missouri every year on January 12th. And I think this is a fantastic idea. And I think the argument is maybe that he's the second most important person from Missouri since Harry Truman. Well, he's the most important since Harry Truman. Most influential American since Harry Truman, I think, is a reasonable argument for any Missourian. Dan Stacey is a co-sponsor of this bill in Blue Springs. I've reached out to Representative Stacey to see if he'd like to be on the podcast. And this is going to make a lot of people in Missouri unhappy, but when you start to name things after people, and again, this won't last because 100 years from now, they're going to find something Rush Limbaugh said and they're going to get him and say, oh, they shouldn't have named this, and they'll change it. But that's okay. It's deserving in this state that there be a day of representation or recognition of Rush Limbaugh. And January 12th being his birthday sounds like a perfectly good day to me. Rush Limbaugh was very difficult for liberals. He was difficult because he threaded the needle better than any other conservative they ever ran into. Like, Trump was a nightmare for them, but he was a 4-year or 5-year phenomenon, I think is what they believed. And they got rid of him. He was outrageous. He was bombastic. He said things that were far more outrageous and potentially offensive than Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh was so deft at using his vocabulary and words. And when he did something that made you really, really, really want to be offended, when you looked just a little bit deeper, you saw that the people that were offended by it were the ones that shouldn't be offended by it. I'll give you an example. And he didn't do this a lot, but in the early days, he did something called caller abortions. Because sometimes callers into a show, it goes poorly. And you drop them. That's the common term we use. He referred to it as a caller abortion. If it was going bad, he'd drop them, and it made an awful sound like a vacuum and a woman screaming in pain. And of course it was for effect. Of course it was tacky. Of course it was offensive when he did it. But you started to think about, why is this offensive? And that's the core of the brilliance of Rush Limbaugh. It was offensive because we abort babies. This was dropping a caller from a phone call. And the liberals would go crazy that he was doing this. And Rush would say, you're going crazy over me doing the sounds of a real abortion because I'm dropping a phone caller? Y'all need to rethink what you're about. And he was right. And they could never argue with him. They could never refute his points. They used to say Rush is right. And that didn't just mean he was on the right side, political side of things. It meant that he's correct. These things were well thought out. Was it outrageous? Did it get people angry? Sure, it did. Absolutely. But it also got him to think about, well, he is only dropping a collar and we do really abort babies. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So they want to name this day after him in Missouri, and I'm on board with it. I'm going to push for it. I'm going to have some of these politicians on, and I would encourage anyone in this audience that lives in Missouri to contact their local representatives and tell them you support it. If you live in Kansas or you live elsewhere and you want to send an email, all of these folks' emails are available at the Missouri site. It is Hardy Billington in Poplar Bluff or in the Kansas City area, a big portion of Jackson County. Dan Stacey is your representative in Blue Springs. If you'd like to email Dan Stacey and say I'm in support of Rush Limbaugh Day, this can only help. These can only be good things. And this is how you can do a very small thing. Many of you don't know who your representative is. It's time to learn. This is what happens. Now that they have everything, this is what we do. We clear our eyes, right? We stretch our arms out. We crack our knuckles, and we go to work. And one of the things you do is you find out who your representative is. Most people don't know who their state representative is. Find out who that is and tell them you support Rush Limbaugh Day. And it doesn't really matter where you live. You can live elsewhere and notify someone in the state of Missouri and tell them you think it's a great idea. Any support helps. You can be listening right now in Idaho. And maybe you moved away from this area or never lived here. Maybe you moved away 30 years ago. Contact them and tell them you think it's a great idea. Any input is awesome. So I say go for it. The Kansas City Star is trying to do everything it can to not have a Rush Limbaugh Day, and this is the brilliance of Rush Limbaugh. There's a fair-minded opinion columnist named Derek Donovan who's written a piece today in the Star that the headline is Liberals misunderstood Rush Limbaugh, but naming a day after him is still a bad idea. So this writer is recognizing, I'm assuming this is a This is someone who's looked at Rush's record. And when you go back, if you see the people that hated Rush didn't listen to Rush. They heard from other people that he's a racist. He's a homophobe. He's all these things. You got to hate him. He's a bigot. He's a terrible person. He really shouldn't be allowed to live. He darn sure shouldn't have a radio show. And every time anyone ever came after Rush Limbaugh, they were proven wrong. I've been down this path. You don't have to like what someone's saying, but if they're stating facts and their very well-grounded opinions are based in fact, that's not a reason to cancel someone. Not in this country. And that's what Rush Limbaugh did. And so Derek Donovan has written this piece with the Star that liberals misunderstood Rush Limbaugh, but we still shouldn't name a day after him in Missouri. Derek Donovan, I'll tell you this right now, Derek Donovan, the guy who wrote this opinion piece, understands Rush Limbaugh. It's very clear in the piece. Here's how you know there is no argument for keeping away a Rush Limbaugh day in Missouri. And here's how you know that Donovan has no real argument to stop it. In the piece, he admits liberals misunderstood this guy. Okay. And he says Rush was a genius and he was very great at what he did. And he does two things that play the hand of what liberals are now doing with Rush Limbaugh. And this is the ultimate compliment in his death. Because while he was alive, they just wanted him dead. They just wanted him dead and gone and out. If we're being honest, they wanted him dead. They couldn't get rid of him. They wanted him dead. It's the same thing with Trump. We saw all these Hollywood things and these people doing these faux violent things against Trump while he was in office. Johnny Depp threatening to assassinate. Madonna threatening to blow up the White House. The Kathy Griffin chick beheading him. The Broadway or off-Broadway play about the assassination of Trump. We saw all these fantasies about killing Trump from the left. This is what they wanted. They couldn't get him out. They wanted to kill him. Trust me, they wanted to kill Rush Limbaugh too. They wanted him dead. And they won't, well, some of them have said it. Many of them won't say it. They're happy this has happened. They're just glad he's gone because the difference that he made. And they understood how great he was. And so Donovan, in my opinion, if I were a debate coach in high school or college, I'd say you lost your argument when you did this. Donovan's argument goes off the rails where he says the guy was brilliant. He made excellent points. He had tremendous following. He was the second most, well, he's the most influential Missourian since Harry Truman. He says all these things. But then he compares Rush Limbaugh to Morton Downey Jr. and Howard Stern, shock jocks. And that's where he loses you because he makes unbelievable, he writes in a very, smart manner, making it almost sound like Rush Limbaugh did what Morton Downey Jr. did. And what Rush Limbaugh did is what Howard Stern did. Rush Limbaugh wasn't like either one of them. He wasn't like either one of them in any way, shape, or form. If you take a once a month collar abortion for the 4 years that he did it or whatever, it's not very many times that he did that over the grand scheme of things. The MO of the Rush Limbaugh show was not to be offensive, outrageous, AM shock jockey. It was substance with style. And there's a difference. Substance with style is completely different than shock jock. Shock jock is we're doing something for effect. I've said it here. I modeled everything I did in sports radio after what Rush Limbaugh did in politics and news. I did more guests and more interviews. I had to. I've heard him say now it was great that he didn't have to have guests. I took on a lot of guests because my business partners wanted me to. A lot of folks that were good for business or whatever, and we took them on. And I knew that some of the segments weren't great segments, but I did them because they were good for the business. And I was looking out for the greater good of the employees, the people that worked there, and the good of the business. And I made those decisions consciously, knowing that it was good for other people that I do this. Not necessarily good for the show, but good for other people. And I did that. Rush was the same way. And he was not Morton Downey Jr. or Howard Stern. And trying to write it to make it look like he said the things those people said is misleading. Then they go on to say, it's not like Rush Limbaugh was George Will or William F. Buckley. These are now Republicans that the left reveres. They love them. Remember, the left likes anyone that's not a threat to them currently. Like if Trump just walks away from politics, which he's not going to do, he's taking on investors for social media platforms. And he's going to copy Facebook and Twitter, and he's going right after them, and a search engine probably going right after Google, where the first things that pop up are conservative entries, not liberal. He wants to do all those platforms. That's probably the best thing he can do, short of becoming president again, And I think he will work for a couple of years real hard on doing this. And he's going to go do it. But let's just say he walked away. If he walked away like George W. Bush has. George W. Bush does a lot of great things with veterans, right? And he does all kinds of Patriot Days and veteran-involved things. But he's just walked away from the scene. Well, heck, they love him now. They love George W. Bush. Oh, they loathed him for 8 years. They hated him. They made fun of him. They called him lazy. He was awful. He was the worst thing on earth. George W. Bush got reelected. He's stupid. He finished near the bottom of his class. He's an idiot. What is he doing? They hated the Bush family. They hated John McCain. Now they love them all. They love them all. They hated Mitt Romney. Now they love him. He switched to the dark side. But Rush Limbaugh was a conservative like you are. Rush Limbaugh was a conservative like I am. Trump is a conservative populist like we are. And won't flip. But make no mistake about it. If Trump lived to be 100 and just backed out of this stuff, in 5 or 6 years, they would speak glowingly of Donald Trump. They'd be fine with him because he's no threat to them. And now we're starting to see the easing of this. And it's pretty funny on the aftermath of his death. They say it's not like Rush Limbaugh was George Will or William F. Buckley. Well, heck no. Those people weren't conservatives. They were Republicans. And there's a big difference. They were the rhino, the classic rhino. They like to meet in the middle. We want to meet in the middle with Democrats. We see what you're doing. We like some of that. We've got some of this over here. We're all right in the middle. Well, that's not where we are in America. That doesn't work. That won't work. And if the Republican Party thinks it will, they're wrong. The thinking has always been in the Republican Party, stay moderate, and those that are more conservative will have no choice but to vote for us. We learned in Georgia in the Senate runoffs that those conservatives stayed home. They didn't like what they saw. Trump wasn't on the ballot. They were mad, and they didn't go vote. There was like 300,000 people that voted for Trump that didn't go vote for Senate. Well, that would have clearly flipped the elections in Georgia, and the senators would have been conservative. We have an actual test tube, a laboratory. It doesn't work, and it won't work. If you want the 80 million votes or whatever Trump got, the outrageous number of votes and new voters and blue-collar voters, as the Republican Party is becoming the party of the conservative blue-collar worker. And that doesn't mean white. The gains with blacks that are blue-collar are enormous. The gains with Hispanics that are blue-collar are enormous. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. Take what Trump did and build on it. And so here's this columnist saying, well, he's not George Will or William F. Buckley. Rush Limbaugh was totally different. Well, it's the same as we look back and like JFK. I wasn't alive when Kennedy was president, but I can read about his policies and the things he stood for. JFK would be a Republican today. He would not be a Rush Limbaugh conservative, but he'd be a Republican. With the policies that JFK had as president of the United States, he would be in the Republican Party. The Democrats would not have room for him. They would not take him. He'd be a Romney-esque Republican. That's what he would be. And I'm telling you, it isn't going to work anymore. They have it backwards. They have the tail wagging the dog. They think if you stay moderate, the conservatives will have no choice but to vote for us. And that is not true. These people were motivated by a conservative populist. They are not interested in anyone else. If a third party starts of conservatism, populism, we're dead. It's over. The Democrats win everything. It's over. Third party is not the answer. There's no chance that's going to work. None. The struggle is within the party. And where the old guard, the swamp, has it wrong is they think Trump's voters are all going to vote for them. And they're not. Nikki Haley's already pissed off a bunch of people. She's infuriated them by insulting Trump. They've all gone out of their own way to insult Trump now that he's out. They're not getting Trump's votes. They do not understand the Trump voter. Those people will stay home. They will stay home, which is a vote for a Democrat, by the way. I'm not, I still have enough, what would be the term the way I think? And you may be the same way and you may not be. I have a buddy that didn't want to vote. He was just so mad about the Trump thing. He's like, if it's not Trump, I can't vote for anyone. And I guess mine is, it's not conservatism because I'm pretty conservative. It's not complacency that I don't want to vote. It's maybe practicality. Because I'm a practical person, I still go vote for the rhinos. But when I do that, I'm just trying to keep the Democrat out. I'm the guy they're counting on. But I also understand that almost all of the new voters that came in over the last few years are not like me at all. They think like me. Their policies are like mine. But they're not practical voters. They'll just put the middle finger up and stay home. And that's what's so beautiful about reading this column in the Star, is he understands the power of Rush Limbaugh and now is trying to insult him by saying, well, he's not George Will or William F. Buckley. No, because the Democrats like those people now. They're no threat. They're gone. And so they're no threat. And in a few years, they'll remember Rush Limbaugh much better than they do now. Should also be noted, when I went to the Star's website today, on the front page of the website, they usually have a main story and then in triple boxes below, two rows of triple boxes. That's seven stories that essentially makes the online front page of the Kansas City Star. Six of the seven top stories today had a racial element to them. That's all they got, folks. That's all they have. That literally is it. It's the last thing liberals have in this country. It's the last thing. If they cannot keep racism alive in this country, they're done. They just can't. If we could end the perception that this is just an inherently racist country and the worst place on earth, it's over. Conservatives win everything. I mean, it's unbelievable the way they control the issue of racism and just beat the drum nonstop. Six of the seven top stories at the Star have some element of race in them, some level of race in the story, and it gets projected within the story. It's remarkable, absolutely remarkable. Okay, Dr. Michael Stiles is an eye surgeon, right? Stiles Eye Center. This guy's top-notch, man. Good dude. He's a patron of the podcast. We email back and forth from time to time. He helps me out with things that, because I'm just podcast boy, that I don't understand. Things like being a doctor, right? And I love it when he does, because he sends me really, really cool things, like a commentary from Marty Makary in the Wall Street Journal late last week. I mentioned this on the Patreon podcast over the weekend. This is spectacular. I mean, this is just spectacular. The headline of the story is, we'll have herd immunity by April. COVID cases have dropped 77% in 6 weeks. Experts should level with the public about the good news. The crux of the story is, why isn't the media or the experts talking about how great we're doing? Why do they want to keep this going? And I'll read you the first couple of paragraphs from this outstanding story. And thank you, Dr. Stiles, for sending this over from Stiles Eye Centers. Amid the dire COVID warnings, one crucial fact has been ignored. Cases are down 77% over the past 6 weeks. If a medication slashed cases by 77%, we'd call it a miracle pill. Why is the number of cases plummeting much faster than the experts predicted? In large part because natural immunity from prior infection is far more common than can be measured by testing. Testing has been capturing only 10 to 25% of infections, depending on when during the pandemic someone got the virus. Applying a time-weighted case capture average of 1 in 6.5 to the cumulative 28 million confirmed cases would mean 55% of Americans have natural immunity. I believe that number. I can't count the number of people that I know that have had COVID-19, and 55% of Americans have had it, seems right to me, and half of them didn't know it. Young people get it and have no idea, none. The story goes on. Now add people getting vaccinated. As of this week, 15% of Americans have received the vaccine. Former Food and Drug Commissioner Scott Gottlieb estimates 250 million doses will have been delivered to 150 million people by the end of March. All right. So we have 55% of Americans with natural immunity, and 150 million more by the end of March will have the vaccination. This thing is over. This is a great story. It says by April, life as normal. Don't have to wear a mask, go to a ball game, sell the crowds out, that the overwhelming majority of people that you will come into contact with, I mean an overwhelming majority, like 80, 90% of people that you will bump into, cannot get and cannot give the virus. And it always begs the question, if I've had it or if I'm vaccinated, why the heck should I stay home? Why should I wear a mask? If I can't get it and I can't give it, done. How about if you're not vaccinated and you've been tested and you've never had it, you wear a mask? How about we start to identify the people that don't, that haven't had it and haven't been vaccinated, instead of the other way around? They're wanting to, carry your card, prove you've done this. No, this is ridiculous. It needs to be the other way. It needs to be the other way. I've never had it and I've never been vaccinated. So I carry a card or I'm in a database. Whatever. I mean, it's insane. This is a great, great story. And I believe every word of this. I think by April, this stupid thing should be over and we should never talk about it again. And Fauci's out there running around saying masks into 2022. And de Blasio is saying double masks. There is no evidence over the last 11 months that masks really did anything. We can guess that they did, but there's no real evidence. There's also no evidence that football hurt a thing. There's a scientific study out now, 261 counties in the United States where football games were held in the National Football League or college football, and fans were allowed to go to games. 261 counties. Scientific study, zero impact in any of those counties. Not a single one of them saw anything unusual happen in those counties with COVID cases during the football season, as opposed to their other months or national averages. Zero, not one county out of 261 where fans were allowed to go to football games was there an uptick. Zero. No effect. None. This is just common sense, folks. We've known this all along. My God, do we not know that human beings are all different? And if we want to generalize, and this is generalizing, but I believe this to a certain extent, there are two kinds of people. There are people that live scared, and there are people that don't live scared. There are. And I know this also to be true. It's not 100%. Most of the people that don't live scared are conservative or to the right of center. Almost all of the people that live scared, almost, not people who have had cancer or been sick or completely unhealthy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're predisposed in life. You're just raised to be afraid of things. That the sky is falling in, that you were not going to be able to pay the mortgage, that you're worried, you're constantly fretting, and oh my God, we're so unjust and everything is so bad that that's just the way you live. Those people are left of center. And this played out during COVID. We've seen it. Some people are afraid and some aren't. It's over. We cannot let what is now, what would be the small sliver left. Seriously, you would think that the liberals would be more vaccinated at this point. If we want to look at percentages in this country of who is, by the end of March, when 150 million people have had the shots, by the end of March, who's more likely to have been vaccinated? The scared, freaked out people. Okay, let's move on. We're done with that. Man, this stuff drives me crazy. I love the fact they've had studies now that fan attendance does nothing. But we knew that. I mean, we knew that. We were watching these football games going, there's nobody getting COVID at Arrowhead. This is all just ridiculous. Okay, here's some insight into the stimulus plan the Dems are trying to pass. And there's a conservative group trying to stop it because there is the payroll protection plan. The PPP is in this $1.9 trillion deal. For Planned Parenthood. Well, because of course there is. We've got to pay for all those abortions. $600 million for paid federal family leave. That means if you work for the government, you get more money than the rest of us. Subsidies and loans based on race and ethnicity. Oh my goodness. So follow me here. If you're into abortions, you get extra money. If you are of a certain race or ethnicity, you get extra money in loans. You're following the path here? All right, we see that. All right. How about this? Money for universities funded by China or the Confucius Institute. There's money in here for schools all over the place, universities that are basically funded by China. Oh, here's my favorite. $50 million for environmental justice. Environmental justice. Anybody want to take a crack at that one? That's people, that's these nonprofits that, you know, show up at events and demonstrate and do stuff about the environment. This is to keep funding them so they keep showing up and they keep creating havoc wherever something's going on. Here's $50 million to fund you people. Keep it up. Keep up the good work of causing havoc. I mean, it's crazy, some of the stuff that's in this thing. But we know that's coming. And the checks, I guess, since we've now learned that having a debt doesn't really matter, we just print more money and it doesn't seem to hurt the economy or the stock market or interest rates or anything else. We just have a government managing the economy in a way that is good for citizens. Then I guess let's send checks to people that helps them out, you know, and that's just kind of where we are in our society now. And I think most people right of center agree with sending checks to folks to help them out because of what's happened because of COVID. But at some point, we got to stop doing this stuff. At some point, people have to be on their own, don't they? At some point, we have to turn it over to the private sector and to fundraising, like Texas got hit hard. Emergency declaration, the federal government's going to send money into Texas. Texas will take it. You don't turn the money down, but I don't think Texas really asked for it. I think they feel like they can handle their own problems in Texas because it got cold there. Well, it got cold in a lot of states. Maybe they learned some things. Maybe they should have been more prepared. Matthew McConaughey, who's a famous actor from the state of Texas, is putting together a benefit, a fundraiser. This is a great way to help people out. Other people get together and help their neighbors. This is the American way. This is better than Big Brother is sending you truckloads of cash. Although states are never going to turn down federal aid. That's never going to happen. So we got a whole potpourri of things going on out there in Washington, D.C. I had dinner over the weekend with my friend from bstock.net and his lovely girlfriend. We had a wonderful time. The three of us were outcasts. She was not. She runs triathlons and was going to be training on Saturday morning. Went to dinner on Friday night and had a wonderful dinner, a wonderful meal and some cocktails. And I think she had maybe a glass of wine. And then that was it because she's training for the triathlon the next morning. I'm like, okay, well, the other three of us will have fun here. And she's awesome. And they're just really, really nice, smart people. And I got to ask him if it's okay for me to tell you what he tipped the waitress. Because it was completely different. We had a ruse going all night. We were trying to figure out if this waitress was conservative or liberal. She was a young lady going through school. And there were signs either way. She wanted to be a teacher. She wanted to make more money as a teacher. But she also wanted to teach in poverty-stricken areas to help kids out and things like that. So it was just a really interesting night and an interesting conversation. And he had convinced her that I was running for Congress, even though I said, no, I'm not running for Congress. It was fun. She liked it. It was great. He couldn't have been nicer to her at the end of all this. And I don't know if I can say or not, but it was, I paid the tab, right? So I paid the tab and I put a 20% tip on there and we'd been there a while. It was a big tab and it was worth it. I took a client to dinner. It was great. And they're friends and nice folks and everything's good. And he decided to do something for her above and beyond. I'll have to get his permission. I do not have to get his permission to tell you what the special is at bstock.net this week. Bstock.net is online electronics, saving you money. If you go to the outlet store in Olathe, you save even more. This week, how about this? Samsung curved 55-inch TV, just $449. It's regularly, well, it's $449. It's $150 more at Best Buy. Now, if you want last year's model of the curved 55-inch Samsung TV, it's only $379. It's $70 less than that. Brand new. It's just last year's model. These are overstocks. That's all this is overstock. So it's last year's model is $379 for a 55-inch curved Samsung. Bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Buck Roofing and Construction online at rbuckroofing.com. We picked out the roof material for our roof, and I can't wait for Ron and his team to install it for us. We wouldn't trust anyone else. Not only will they do a great job making sure that the roof does its function, it will look gorgeous. The rows will be pretty. It will look right. They're artists. I'm telling you, these guys are great. His crews are the best. His supervisors are on the job every single day, and they take care of your property like nobody else. I wouldn't consider anybody else for my roof. It's Ron Buck and Buck Roofing. rbuckroofing.com, 384-2680, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park, online at joslynsjewelry.com. It's the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Dave and Cameron are there pretty much every day. Gary's there quite a bit too. If you want to go in and see the family, it is a wonderful shopping experience at Joslyn's Jewelry. Also, we don't probably talk about this enough, jewelry repair. If you have something that isn't quite right and you want to get it repaired, I'm not kidding you, they do it for less than half what the other guys charge. It's just completely a ripoff elsewhere. And Gary and his team, they really know how to do the job right. They've been doing this for decades. They're experienced. They're the best. And it is very inexpensive to repair your jewelry at Joslyn's. 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. Congratulations to Patrick Mahomes and Brittany for the baby. They have named their daughter as they have their dogs after a medal. Somebody apparently predicted this online a few months ago. Somebody said, well, probably Sterling or something like that. I don't have their dog names in front of me, but they're named after medals as well. So everything gets named a medal. Sterling Sky is the baby girl, and that means we no longer have to look at the photo that came out last week on social media of the late pregnancy photo of her and Patrick, which I don't mind her being pregnant. That's not it at all. It's just the grandeur of the photo that she had him take was outrageous. It was part of our patron post on Saturday. I link things like that on the patron post when we send it out to the patrons. If you want to become a patron, you can see things like that. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it here because I don't want to see that photo again. I'm done with that. Put up all the baby pictures you want, which I wouldn't be doing, but I'm more private than they are. I wouldn't be putting my baby's picture up on social media, but I suspect we will see a flurry of them in the coming days and weeks. But congratulations to them on their healthy baby girl. That's a beautiful story. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. College basketball, we had a great weekend of college basketball. Just a great weekend. I mean, Kansas coach Bill Self said after the game, they beat Texas Tech. He said he feels better about his team than he has at any point this year. That, you know, they're doing things and they're playing now like they weren't in January. And that he's optimistic. They still got a chance to finish second. And you know what? If Baylor doesn't play enough games, Kansas could win the league by finishing second, right? This is in play. Baylor's going to have to play some games. They haven't played enough games to qualify. I don't know how they're going to do this. Baylor may not win the Big 12. This is a real story developing, and Kansas is playing better, and they have Texas and Baylor left. But if you go beat Texas and the Baylor game gets postponed or canceled, they may win it. There could be some tiebreakers in place. There's some other teams involved. We'll see how this plays out. They've got a chance. Self also said it was loud in here for the first time. That you don't need a lot of fans to make it loud, but it's getting better. He said that was the loudest it was all year. These are all great signs. Missouri had a terrific day. They went to South Carolina and just blew the doors off that team. They got up 19 points early and never let go. They win easily. Drew Smith says after the game, hey, man, if I knew having a players-only meeting was going to do this for us, I would have done this a long time ago. So great stuff for Mizzou. A good win. Let's turn the corner. Missouri's got a good basketball team. They just have to get it together and make sure that they're playing well into the postseason because they've proven this year that they're a pretty good basketball team. I like that. Kansas State got a win. They were down 5 at TCU. Mike McGurl had a big game, and they came back from 5 down and went on a big, 12-3 flurry or something at the end to win the darn thing. Kansas State won a basketball game. Bruce Weber's been saying they're turning the corner, that they're close. They got one, and I'm happy for those kids. Those freshmen were getting beat down. Kansas State's the youngest team in America. Bruce Weber has played more freshmen and sophomores than any of the 369 teams in the country. So that's good for them. Good for them. They won a game, and that doesn't sound like much, but if you're working that hard and you don't get a payoff at the end, that's bad. And they got a little payoff with a win over TCU. UMKC won a game. This is all great. It all comes in a week where we learn there's going to be fans at the Big 12 tournament. There's going to be fans at the NCAA tournament. I would love it if basketball stepped up and said, we're going to be the first one to do better than 25% fans. I don't think they will, but they could. It's in Indiana. It won't happen in Kansas City, Missouri. The T-Mobile Center is far too close to Quentin Lucas's office for anyone in this town to threaten Quentin Lucas with, hey, we're going to put more fans in here and go against any suggestions from politicians who are turning out, God, who knew? Turning out that politicians in sports aren't all that smart, are they? No. I told you earlier about the study with the fans having no effect on COVID-19, all the football fans, and 25% is a silly number for basketball too. Why don't we just do every other seat everywhere for the next couple of months, and about June, we call an end to all of it, and everything goes full capacity? Is that good? Once 150 million, once everybody that has wanted the vaccine gets it, can't we then call everything off and all the fans can go? I'm ready. I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of excited about the NCAA tournament. I think that's pretty cool that we had a big weekend of college basketball this weekend. So there you go. I got a great letter here from Chris, who lives in Iowa, lives in Cedar Rapids. I was talking about sports gambling coming to Kansas next year or this year, potentially, and how many people would drive over from Missouri and place bets. He takes it a step further and says, I'm glad to have you back, Kevin. I live in Cedar Rapids. I was on your radio show a few years ago talking about sports betting in Iowa. It is now the wild, wild west here. There's no more requirements to go to sign up at a casino. It's all download the app and bet. It's crazy what's going on our state lines. People are coming across from other states into Iowa and spending money. For Kansas, if they get a start ahead of Missouri, I know what I would do. This is what he writes. If I ran a restaurant or a sports bar in Kansas, especially Johnson County, at any time, if a guest shows a working app on their phone to a sports book, I'm going to give them 15% off the final check. They'll stay longer, they'll spend more, and these are the kind of customers you want. He said, I'd also have Missouri-centric promotions whenever the Tigers are playing, for example, even the St. Louis Cardinals. And here's a big part to remember if you live in Missouri. This is his suggestion to you. If this passes into Kansas and you want to go there and bet, drive a half mile or so inside the state line. We see this in Iowa constantly. If you're right on the border or the Mississippi River, the books don't always recognize your location that you're in Iowa and accept your bet. Go in a little ways, a half mile or a mile. Go to Mission, go to Roe, something like that before you try logging in. He says, all the best. Enjoy your podcast, Kevin. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. And good advice for Missourians if they start coming to Kansas when we legalize sports wagering. Plenty of restaurants to choose from to watch the Missouri Tigers play or the St. Louis Cardinals. Get on your app and do your thing. That's pretty cool stuff. We're going to have some guests on this week from Missouri about the potential for a Rush Limbaugh day in the state of Missouri, and I will ask them what the timeline is in Missouri of getting sports betting. It doesn't look like that's going to happen this year. Looks like they're at least a year behind Kansas, so we will see. The Anaheim Ducks are a hockey team in the NHL. You may have heard of them. Did you watch hockey over the weekend in Tahoe? How cool was that? I watched a bunch of it on Sunday night. What a great setting. The sun setting, the lake, gorgeous. The mountains, the snow, the hockey. Hockey can still be a little bit hard to watch on TV, to follow it all and see everything, but what a great sport, man. And they wave the red, white, and blue. The NHL is proud of America and they're proud of Canada. They want both countries to be uniquely different and proud of what they are. That's what it's all about, man. This felt really right, what the NHL was doing. It was really, really cool. High scoring, the game's gotten better. There's a lot to like about the NHL, a lot. And they do not kneel, and they are not taking knees, and they respect the anthem, and those players sing, and it's awesome. These are tough guys in a tough sport, and they love their countries. And the American players love the Canadian players and respect what their country is, and the Canadian players love the American players and respect what their country is, and all the above. And the fans are the same way. The NHL's getting it right. It looks good. It was fantastic. And I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing the Anaheim Ducks have a conservative streak running through their organization. The reason I believe this is they had a great promotion this week where they offered free beer to all fans. And it got a lot of attention in California, in Los Angeles. Free beer to every fan in attendance. All night, all you can drink, free. No catch, not one beer, just free beer. The taps are open. All the beer is free. Any fan in attendance, it's free beer at the Anaheim Ducks games. And that's a standing offer, apparently, at this point. Because you see, in California, they can't have fans. And this is Anaheim's way of saying, this is absurd. You want absurd? We're going to throw absurd back at you. They got a lot of attention. A lot of the attention, this is very Rush Limbaugh-esque. This is what Rush Limbaugh would do. You draw attention to something with an absurdity that is misleading or outrageous or funny, in this case. And the underlying absurdity is the state of California won't let them have fans. Good for the Anaheim Ducks. Good for them. Derek Carr, the quarterback of the Raiders, and the Raiders apparently are close to a contract extension. The Colts wanted to trade for Derek Carr, and the Raiders said, nope, that is not happening. So apparently the Raiders are married to Carr, and they like him. Now, if you look at his numbers, and you remember last year as the Chiefs were getting ready to play the Raiders the first time, I said, boy, Derek Carr is off to a not-so-good start here. again this year, and he played great against the Chiefs. The second half of his season was phenomenal. Second half of Carr's season after Arrowhead, basically, he was the third best quarterback in football. And I think the Raiders are looking at this going, it took time for Gruden, the offense, Carr, everything to gel. But what we saw in the latter half of the season is what we have with Derek Carr, and we want to sign him to a new contract. I really only bring this up because it just seems like the Raiders have made the decision. Derek Carr is 1-7 or 1-9 or whatever against the Chiefs, and they've decided that's good enough. We're going to sign him to a long-term deal. Carr's a good player. I don't think he's a threat to win the AFC West as long as Patrick Mahomes is standing up. I don't. But we'll see. The Raiders have made their choice. Sounds like it is Derek Carr. My favorite story from the sports weekend is a freshman baseball player at Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic's a great program. They're terrific. So this Pendleton kid is the third best catcher in the state of Florida as a high school senior last year, and he goes to Florida Atlantic. He could have gone to a lot of places. So don't think of Florida Atlantic as small-time baseball. This kid probably could have been drafted and probably has a real chance to be a Major League Baseball player. Caleb Pendleton is a freshman at Florida Atlantic. He's playing in his first game against UCF. And he gets to the plate, and they're down 2-1, and the bases are loaded. And Caleb Pendleton, in his first at-bat as a college baseball player, hits a grand slam. Just phenomenal. I love stories like that. Can you imagine how that felt? Your first college at-bat, you step to the plate, they were down 2-1. Now all of a sudden you're up 5-2 in your first at-bat? Ridiculous story. Congratulations to Caleb Pendleton. Oh, wait. And then they batted around. And 14 minutes later, in the same inning, Caleb Pendleton came to the plate for his second college career at bat, and the bases were loaded again. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. First two college career at bats, grand slams for Caleb Pendleton. Just ridiculous. Insane. When things like that happen, they're crazy. I thought it was crazy last year. I hit two holes in one, 21 days apart, both on Sunday evenings, with two golf balls out of the same sleeve. I think that's a pretty rare thing. I thought, wow, I just did something really rare. I thought I was going my whole life without one. And then I got one, and my wife wasn't with me, and she was disappointed. And 21 days later, I'm playing with her and our dog, and I hit another one. And I couldn't believe it. And last night I dreamed I got my third hole in one. And I think the reason that I dreamed that I got my third hole in one is I did a patrons podcast last night for patrons only. If you sign up to become a patron, you have gotten the podcast yesterday. And I was talking about the golf tournament in Los Angeles at Riviera where Max Homa won. Max Homa was a kid who grew up in LA, played on a little muni, and every year would find his way into the tournament at Riviera and try to high five Tiger Woods. 12 consecutive years, Max Homa went there. 12 consecutive years, he failed to get a high five from Tiger Woods. Yesterday, Max Homa won the tournament on a 189-yard par 3 in a playoff just by making par. It was not a hole-in-one. But then Tiger Woods handed him the trophy and shook his hand. Tiger's the host of the event. It's a great story. I was touched by it. Also loved the NASCAR race yesterday. If you're into NASCAR at all, when they converted Daytona into sort of a road course, those cars beat the living daylights out of each other. It was awesome. It was a tremendous race yesterday. Tons of fun to watch. Loved it. But the golf was really good. And so golf was on my brain as I was sleeping last night. And I got my third hole in one, 189 yard, par 3 with a 4-iron, because that's what I saw Max Homa do. But you see these things happen and you wonder about the odds of things like that taking place. And I know that my hole in one thing was not like people have gotten two holes in one round. That's ridiculous. Or on back-to-back par threes, that's insane. Mine wasn't anything like that. But Caleb Pendleton, this is incredible. His first two college baseball at-bats are both grand slams. And I just love that story. I just love it. Congratulations to him. And many of you sent in suggestions. I pointed out last week that IHOP is advertising burrito bowls, and that didn't sound right to me. Not that they're not any good. I just don't know why I would order the burrito bowl at IHOP. If I got there and I saw the menu, they'd have to be out of like 15 different things. before I'd go to Burrito Bowl at IHOP. I said, look, maybe it's for teenagers. Maybe families want to go and their 12-year-old or 10-year-olds or 8-year-olds or their teenagers love burrito bowls. And they're like, I don't want breakfast for dinner. I want a burrito bowl. Well, we're going to go to IHOP. They got both. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. So I asked people to write in with some of the food things they thought were weird. And I got a couple of good ones. The first one is, why does Casey's General Store say they're famous for pizza? I love this one. Casey's pizza is okay. Some people fawn over it like it's the best pizza ever. It's fine pizza. But basically the rule of pizza is there is no bad pizza. We buy $3 frozen pizzas at the store, slap it in the oven, and late at night eat it and think it's okay. There is no such thing as bad pizza. There's a sports bar in Kansas City. I'm friends with the owner. I frequent the place. I love the place. I don't know how he ever sells a slice of pizza. It's not good. It's not cooked. It's not good. It's just not good. Yet, when I'm in there watching a game or something, I see people coming in, going right up to the counter, grabbing a couple of them, carrying them out right and left. It just proves there is no bad pizza. That's what we know. There is no bad pizza, right? Is that the honest way to say it? That's what it is. So I like that. And I agree. How a gas station general store is famous for pizza is a weird one. Many of you wrote in about Chinese restaurants, that so many of them offer Italian food. Yeah, I think that's weird, but maybe that's just for kids. Again, this stuff all has to do with kids, right? If you're a Chinese restaurant and you're already cooking noodles right and left, why not throw some ragu on some of it and have it as a side item for the kids or something? I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. Many of you have commented that you can't believe the number of places that offer fried chicken. Again, this is a gas station phenomenon. This is a truck stop phenomenon. Right? This is a burger places just keep trying and trying and trying to do fried chicken, all right? And I think they're finally starting to give up and give chicken to the chicken people. You know, Chick-fil-A started a revolution with fried chicken. They've got the fried chicken sandwich, but then all these other chicken places start popping up, right? Zaxby's and Cane's and Slim Pickens and all these fried chicken places popping up like crazy. But still, the number of gas stations and stuff you go into that have fried chicken is amazing. And grocery store fried chicken looks good. I'm sorry. By the time you get it home, it's dry. It's not any good. Grocery store fried chicken is not worth getting. Get the uncooked chicken and fry your own. Really. The grocery store chicken has been sitting there for a long time. If you've got exceptions on some of these things, let me know. I'll give them out. I'll tell people where they can go. I just think fried chicken's a hard thing to carry out. You know, KFC, somehow you can get away with it. It stays moist. Most of the chicken I ever get somewhere like that, if I get it at the grocery store, by the time I get home, it's knife and fork. That doesn't work for me. It might have been knife and fork when I grabbed it from the deli part there at the grocery store. It could be the case. But as always, thanks for your suggestions, and thanks for your input on the broadcast. I love it when so many of you send me information about, hey, do this on the show. I consider everything. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it, but if you've got an idea for something on the podcast, I want to hear about it. And tell your friends that not only, there may be things that I do here that you already know or you've heard of. That's going to happen. That's going to happen with any podcast or broadcast or whatever. But let people know that what I'm really interested in doing is spreading the word how we, as a group, can help. And as I said earlier in today's podcast, contact your Missouri politician and tell them you think Missouri should have a Rush Limbaugh Day. These are very important things. They're things that kids see through the years. What's Rush Limbaugh Day? And then they look it up and they go, oh, that's what he stood for. This is good. This stuff matters. So not just yourself, but find someone else. Get on the website of the district you live in Missouri, or if you don't live in Missouri, just pick any of them. You know, Hardy Billington, the guy from Poplar Bluff, Dan Stacy from Blue Springs, go on their site, their email address right there, the State of Missouri site. Boom. Click the email address and send them the email. Say, yeah, go for this Rush Limbaugh Day. I'm all in. It is little things that we can all do that will matter. They will. Over time, they will matter. And we often ask, what can we do? The first thing you can do is learn who your representatives are. The second thing you can do is constantly let them know what you're thinking. Constantly. Don't ever let up. Don't be mean. Don't be abusive. Just let them know this is what you think. You can't believe the power of that. I've done this. I'm not in politics, but I've done this my whole life. You know what's the most powerful thing now? The single most powerful thing is a handwritten letter that comes in the mail. You know why? Because it always gets opened and read. There's no skimming over it. It doesn't get lost in spam. Okay? It doesn't get blown over in social media. You send a letter to someone, they open it and read it. A handwritten letter has never been a more powerful thing, ever. It's crazy. Do it. Get involved. That's what we love here at KKHI. I am with you. I thank you very much for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.